WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. The two major party gubernatorial candidates sparred over taxes, Trump, and Confederate monuments last night. Robert E. Lee's church in Lexington is no longer named after him after a vote Tuesday. And Charlottesville's black residents look at an uncertain future after a violent summer. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, September 20th.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from Blue Ridge Community College. When you earn a two-year associate degree, transferring to a four-year college is possible through their guaranteed transfer agreement programs. More information at brcc.edu.
The two major party candidates in Virginia's closely watched race for governor are arguing over taxes, President Donald Trump, and what the state should do with its numerous Confederate statues. Republican Ed Gillespie said at a debate in Northern Virginia on Tuesday that he's the only candidate with a sense of urgency and the right policies, which include cutting taxes to improve the state's economy, which he said is floundering. Democratic Lieutenant Governor Ralph Northam said he's the best position to build on successes of current Governor Terry McAuliffe to take Virginia to the next level. It was the second of three planned debates. Virginia is one of only two states electing governors in 2017. The contest is getting national attention as a potential early referendum on Trump. The church where Confederate General Robert E. Lee attended during his time in Lexington will no longer bear his name as of a vote last night by the vestry of R. E. Lee Memorial Episcopal Church, or Grace Episcopal Church, as it is now called. WMRA's Faith Pinu has the story.
The decision to change the church's name comes in the wake of the white supremacist and Southern Heritage rally in Charlottesville last month. Several congregation members filling the church's parish hall for the vestry meeting cited the Charlottesville events as their reason for supporting the name change. A few in the audience opposed it, saying the church should not make any decisions that are reactionary. The judgment ultimately went to the vestry, who voted 7-5 to change the name. Keith Gibson, executive director of the Virginia Military Institute's museum system, voted on the vestry in favor of the change. He called himself Lee's greatest admirer, but said that the general himself would not have wanted the church named after him.
Our name might be an obstacle for those that wish to attend here. We've looked at many different options to that. Now we can move forward and all worship in the church with a name that Robert E. Lee himself worshipped in.
The new name harks back to what the church was called when Lee served as senior warden in the 1860s, Grace Church. The name was changed in honor of Lee 33 years after his death in 1870, and then again Monday night. The first time the church voted on this issue was 2 years ago, following the white supremacist attack that killed 9 people at an African Methodist Episcopal church in Charleston, South Carolina. Ann Hansen, a member of the committee that wrote the resolution voted on yesterday, said the name change has been a topic of controversy ever since.
The whole thing came up as a result of the fallout from the first time we went through the question of changing the name, and there was a lot of unhappiness in the parish and feeling that that issue had really torn us apart.
According to Hansen, several people on both sides of the issue have left the parish in the last 2 years as a result.
I think initially, when a lot of people moved on, it was clearly because of the name. And then there's been a lot of people leaving just because of the rancor in the church.
Peter Fife, a longtime member of the congregation, said he wanted to keep the name, but ultimately just wanted to see the church get back to normal.
I just think this has been very, very disruptive. People have not behaved like good Christians. Love thy neighbor, you know. Politically, I'm liberal, but on this, I honestly don't think it's a good idea. I would not leave the church over it.
Part of the resolution that was approved last night included a clause that the church would do something else to honor Lee's contribution to his parish, such as putting up a historical marker or renaming the basement parish hall. For WMRA News, I'm Faith Pinu.
A New York federal appeals court has reinstated a defamation lawsuit against Rolling Stone over the magazine's debunked article about a University of Virginia gang rape. The Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said Tuesday that 3 former students can sue. A lower court judge had tossed the lawsuit by 3 Phi Kappa Psi members who graduated in 2013. The lawsuit followed a November 2014 article describing a student's account of being raped by 7 men at the fraternity house in September 2012. An investigation by Charlottesville police found no evidence to back up the claims of the woman identified in the article as Jackie. Rolling Stone retracted the article and apologized. The magazine said in a statement that it was disappointed, but confident the case has no merit. Finally, it's been 1 month since a white supremacist rally in Charlottesville left three people dead and dozens more injured. The city has since attempted to piece itself back together, realizing that deeper issues are also at play. For a look towards the future, WMRA's Jordy Yeager spoke with educators and teens about their reality.
I honestly thought this was a wake-up call for us.
Kimani Alexander was born and raised in Charlottesville. He's 20 years old and works in a grocery store in the city, stocking shelves. The violence of August 12th, he says, was horrible. But for the first time, he's seeing a chance at real change.
We're seeing people from the community come out. It's good to see white people come out, more than black people, to, you know, show support. Because they have most of the voice, you know. So I think it's a huge wake-up call. It's an opportunity to tackle the problem and to address the problem if we have any chance to address the problem. So,
sitting in his family's living room with his mom on the front porch, I ask him, what is the problem?
We need equality. Ethnicity shouldn't matter. It's no equality. It's hard to explain, man.
And it is hard to explain, but people are trying. In the two city council meetings since August 12th, large crowds have pleaded with city government for more affordable housing, for racial equity in the foster care system, for greater police accountability with African Americans. Alexander and his peers say the city isn't designed for their success, and August 12th was a window into that reality.
And I think white people around, like, here are starting to see that because it happened down here. Like, you're realizing, like, it could happen to anyone. And I feel like white people need to be put in black people's shoes. Like, if you was black, would you really want to chance it? Like, your kid not coming home, or really be scared to send them to school?
Inside city schools, a similar conversation is happening. Dr. Eric Irizarry is the principal of Charlottesville High School, home to more than 1,200 kids. Days after August 12th and weeks before the first day of class, Irizarry and his team lined up mental health counselors for students and teachers.
We had a plan for kids that were in trauma immediately. We knew they were going to be in trauma. We identified the students that were involved in the actual incidents, whether it was the vehicle attack or any of the other attacks that occurred throughout the city. And, you know, we made sure we touched base with them. How are you doing? We're here for you.
About 2 weeks in now, Irizarry said the healing's begun, and students and teachers are beginning to look at the long-term effects, stepping up, asking, what can they do? How can they get involved? It's created an opportunity, a way to look deeper, he said.
I think one of the unintended consequences of the events of August 12th is that it sparked a dialogue. I think some folks their eyes were open to some of the injustices that have been, that have happened in the past and some of those scars that haven't healed. And I think sometimes the perception is everything is fine. I think there's some citizens that would maybe argue that point. It's a great city, but we do have issues that we need to address. We have some inequalities that we need to address. And our students are aware of that.
Last week, the city school board held its first meeting since August 12th, and some of those inequalities were brought up. Former city councilor Dee Dee Smith presented board members with some recent data, detailing how about 60 city families requested to change schools last year, about half white, half black, but their approvals were not as equitable.
If you were one of 33 requests to transfer a white child, you had a 98% chance of approval. But if you were one of 27 requests to transfer a black child, your chances dropped to about 50%.
Lamia West is a 16-year-old senior at CHS. She's also a high school representative on the city school board. At last week's meeting, she nodded in agreement to the data. West has been in advanced classes since elementary. That's where it starts, she said. You find your group and you stay with it. Transferring schools allows for those groups to be more diverse and for more African Americans to be in more advanced classes.
And as I sit in my more advanced classes, I am one of few African Americans that sit there with me. This is our chance to do better. This is a new era in which we can teach that everyone has equal opportunities. It's not just set on paper, but there's proof. As everyone sits in this class and we see different types of faces, different types of skin, and we're all learning together as a whole.
Juan Diego Wade is a career counselor, a lifelong educator, and chairman of the Charlottesville School Board. Last week, he thanked Smith and West for raising the issues. Part of racism is certainly structural, he told me, but it's also deeply personal. It involves interactions between individuals, interactions that need changing, one by one.
But it takes time. Unfortunately, it didn't happen overnight, and the changes are not going to take place overnight.
On the first day of school this year, Wade welcomed kids outside an elementary school. One father dropped his son off at first grade, but the youngster was unsure of where to go. So Wade, who's African American, reached out his hand and offered to show him. And the boy, who's white, took it.
I walked him down to his classroom, and he was talking with me about how much he was looking forward to meeting his new teachers and his new friends, that he's ready. He is ready to start school, to start his life, to start the next 12 or 13 years of education. If he's ready, I'm ready.
For WMRA News, I'm Jordy Yeager.
And you can learn more about that story and our continuing coverage of Charlottesville at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy your Wednesday.